Cabo Camp Show.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. You know, it's fun being out here in front of the fans in Kinnick, Friday night spring ball. It's the first time we've done that.
And it might be the last time they've done it. No, we don't know. Jake Gervais there after the spring game on Friday. The Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn coming to you on three frequencies, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids, and on 1600 AM all across eastern Iowa. Glad to have Jeff Downing with us today, sitting in the penalty box on the other side of the glass. 2 minutes for high sticking. Alex Kuhn. Still riding that wave of NHL Stanley Cup playoff fever.
I was going to say the spring game fever.
We're not touching the Stanley Cup playoffs today, not with a 10-foot pole. Hawkeye fans, we want to hear from you. What did you see? What did you like? What did you not like about the spring game being held on a Friday? 319-366-1600. That also doubles as the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. And not to crib from Super Troopers, but I will pistol whip the next person who mentions Colin Cowherd on the text line or on Twitter or picks up. I don't want to deal with people mentioning Colin Cowherd today. That is not a surefire way for you to get your texts read. Read between the lines. It is not a surefire way for you to get your texts read today if you mention Colin on the text line. 366-1600. It's a nice looking shirt, though. I'll grant him that. UNASH and Dukes couldn't get out of here fast enough.
Maybe it's because their show is heading down the Colin Cowherd wormhole because people wanted to talk about it.
Know what I'm buying everybody for Christmas this year. Everybody's getting a shirt.
Yeah. No, thank you. I'll gladly take the row the boat shirt, though.
I got Halas. Sort of stealing my material on Twitter. We made the same reference. I'll have my attorney be in touch to paraphrase an old Jerry Reed song.
Oh, we don't need any more lawsuits.
Speaking of, we're going to be talking a little bit with Jeremiah Davis from the Cedar Rapids Gazette coming up at the bottom of the hour, not only about the Jane Meyer trial going on in Des Moines, but a little spring football rundown with Jeremiah as well. And then a little NFL draft chatter. Jabril Peppers dinged his draft stock over the weekend. Turns out that he had a diluted sample.
Got a little too hydrated.
A little too hydrated because apparently he was trying to stave off cottonmouth. So he was drinking a lot of water before he went to bed.
That's he says what 8 to 10 bottles of water.
That's what his agent says. Can't these guys come up with a better excuse? Adrian Peterson also said to be close to a deal with the New Orleans Saints. Lots of NFL news to touch on today. We're going to get to that in hour number two. But again, the text line is available for you. The Colin Cowherd free text line, 366.
Well, not so far.
1600. See what did I say? Don't mention people like Colin on the text line. Otherwise, there's no possible way that we're going to sit here and do the entire first segment of the show just reading your texts about Colin Cowherd. I'd much rather talk about the titillating Friday night football game that we witnessed after the KGYM road trip at the Coach's Corner.
Okay, I'll just flat out ask you, before we get into anything that was the spring game, just did you like it on Friday night?
I didn't necessarily have an issue with it, but it sure looked like fans did. I mean, I know Iowa said there was 16-5 there.
Did they overestimate?
The accounting firm of Wine, Hattie, and Rowe coming up with that number. Iowa's time-honored tradition of just putting a number out there. I would take the under on 16-5 being there on Friday night. It's tough to tell, man.
Under 10,000.
The stands were kind of full on that west side. So, I don't know. I just think that you probably have the same amount of people, maybe a couple thousand more if you're doing it on a Saturday morning. It's negligible. Now, I will say this. I thought that the product on the BTN came off looking very good as far as here's a football game, a spring football game, and we're going to put it on TV, and it looks like a football game. And I think that was the whole point behind this. We talked about this all last week, was that Iowa wanted to carve out a little space on the Big Ten Network, and they had largely been ignored in recent years during spring football because the product wasn't TV-friendly. Nobody wanted to watch 20 minutes of defensive linemen going up against one another, smacking pads, and receivers catching balls out of jugs guns. It's just not a compelling product for a television consumer to take in. So I thought John Campbell did a tremendous job as the play-by-play voice, and you had Chuck Long and Dana Hughes, two guys that were able to lend their voices and certainly have some cachet with Hawkeye fans. And if you watched it, I did set the DVR to record it. Why, after sitting through it in person, I wanted to go back and watch it again, I'm not quite sure. But I wanted to see what the presentation looked like TV-wise. And I thought, from that standpoint, it's going to be up to Iowa whether they want to do this again or not. But they didn't do it for the fans. They didn't do it for anybody or any other reason other than this was their opportunity to get on TV, and they were successful in that. So this could stay. I want to know, and maybe people are just indifferent on this, because I know Scott and Mark wanted to know, and Scott, it's the last thing Scott said leaving the door. He wants to know what people thought about this. If you went on Friday night and you've gone to previous spring games, how'd you feel about Friday night versus the past? 319-366-1600. Again, I'm there for work. So if it's at 10 a.m. or 2 a.m., 2 p.m., whatever on a Saturday, I'm going to be there. If it's on a Friday night, I'm going to be there. So it doesn't matter to me, but to the fan, I want to know what they prefer.
I'm trying to think last year and the year before how big the crowds were. And the question becomes for Iowa, for the athletic department, is it more important to get 2 or 3, maybe 4,000 more fans in the stands for this, or is it more important to be on TV? And if more revenue comes from being on TV, I think that you take that 100 times out of 100, especially during the spring when you're not charging admission to get into the spring game.
Well, yeah, there's no revenue one way or the other. I mean, TV is TV. It's about the exposure.
Yes.
And, you know, this isn't Nebraska where they get 78,000 people paying $10 a ticket. How many people would have been inside Kinnick Stadium on Friday night if they would have charged a dollar for that thing? I don't want to sit here and beat them up too bad, because I've sat through a lot of spring games before. To me, they're all pretty much the same. I've never been to an exciting spring football game before. You can't convince me that guys going up against twos and threes in the depth chart is all that compelling. And I know a lot of people want to talk about the quarterbacks, and we're going to get into that a little bit later on today. We'll hear what Kirk Ferentz had to say. This is and I hesitate to use the term battle, but it's going to be a competition that probably plays out well into August, and maybe right up to September 3rd before they kick off against Wyoming. I mean, they'll name a starter that week, but if you watched either in person or on TV, by the way, Darren in Iowa City on the text line says that he thought Friday night was great. So there's one vote for Friday night was fantastic. And then 2649 doesn't quite get my sense of humor, but that's okay. You've got Nathan Stanley, who I think has the stronger arm. Anybody can see that. And Tyler Wiegers is a little bit more of the finesse guy. Got a little bit better touch. And I said I wasn't going to do this last week, where you project onto what you see for one practice and you move forward. But I didn't think either one of these guys was all that great. So as far as that's a level playing field, in my opinion. And all I could think of was Iowa fans complained about Jake Rudock 3 years ago. And both of these guys, I would say, were behind where he was. And granted, it's going to be a long summer, and they've got a lot of work to do, and we don't know what they're going to look like when fall camp rolls around. But I want to know, Hawkeye fans, if you have an uneasy feeling about the quarterback situation right now. 366-1600. Pick up the phone and give us a call. Use the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line if you must. By the way, you can learn more about them. JKAinvest.com. Also for you today, one surefire way to get the phones to ring. We've got a $30 gift card for you to La Cantina. You can use it at any of the three locations that they've got all across Cedar Rapids and Marion. One location in Marion, one in downtown Cedar Rapids, and the newest location at the Fountains off Edgewood Road. So that's a $30 gift card to La Cantina coming up. And I don't know what it is. I had a little Mexican today for lunch, and I cannot.
Did you get a burrito?
I did.
Wow, that's weird.
And
I did too.
Cannot. We probably went to different places. I cannot eat Mexican without getting it on me. I don't know what it is about that particular cuisine. And it tends to be chips and salsa related. And I can be as careful as possible transferring the salsa onto the chip and the chip toward my mouth. And at the end of the meal, I look down and I will have it all over me. I look like a slob today. Maybe not just today. I look like this often.
Luckily, like I said on Friday, we don't have a camera in here and this isn't on TV. And I think that's for multiple reasons. Is I like the new gym class open where they say the two hosts that have faces made for radio. Hopefully, we can slide that in on ours. But as far as it comes, as far as the format goes, we talked about it on Friday. I think if maybe next year, if they do want to go the Friday route again, make sure that it's on a Friday where there's not a home baseball game. Maybe that drove a couple thousand fans away.
If I were Iowa baseball, which, by the way, boy, did they stub their toe over the weekend dropping 2-3 to Rutgers, and that was not a very good Rutgers program. We talked with Jack Dom on Friday, and Jack said, look, they've got a favorable schedule. They're not playing a ton of the powerhouses in the Big Ten. They can win some games here and position themselves quite nicely for the Big Ten tournament. And then they go and not only lose 2-3, but yesterday's game was just absolutely ugly with Rutgers exploding. If I'm Iowa baseball, I move that game to a 4:00 start if I can, and then you try to build around, hey, come, have fun, go to the baseball game, and then at the end of the game, it's maybe the game gets over at 6:45, you wander right across the parking lot, you're there at Kinnick Stadium, try to make a day of it. But I don't know how much pull there was between the baseball game and the football game. Now, granted, not a ton of people are responding here, but 4295 says, have been probably to half of the last 36 spring games. I loved the night game. So the people that we are hearing from today have said that they enjoyed or that they liked that aspect of it, that it was under the lights at Kinnick Stadium. And even though the action on the field wasn't exactly thrilling, there was something about going into that stadium and you've got the lights on and the children's hospital across the way. There was a little bit of an atmosphere, a little bit. And, of course, Jake Gervais steals the show with 3 interceptions. And I think there's 2 ways to look into that. Either, although he had a great game or a great day, great night. And then on the other hand, you go, well, the quarterbacks. Now, I like the fact that Kirk Ferentz afterwards, and again, we'll hear from Kirk coming up before 7:00 tonight, but I like the fact that he went with the hockey reference in his post game and said if this were hockey, he would have been the number one star. But if you had to skate 3 stars from the spring game on Friday. Gervais is number one, obviously. But who are your other 2 guys that are the number?
Torrin Young, number 2?
Torrin Young, who I thought ran hard, ran with purpose. And then I remind myself it's a spring game.
Noah Fant, about, number 3.
About half the time I would get ready to, I'd compose a tweet, and then I would just delete it. And I just constantly had to remind myself, it's just a spring game, and none of this means anything Because how many times have we seen an Andrew Stone, a Don Nordman, I can throw out generic walk-on caliber players. They look good. They get an opportunity to play because somebody's injured or it's later on and everybody's sort of buzzing about them and then you never hear from them again. Now, I'm not going to say that that's the case with Gervais because clearly with Brandon Snyder out, he's going to most likely get an opportunity to play and play a lot next year. But other than that, and Torin Young, would you had no Akram Wadley because of they wanted to limit his contact. Torin Young, I thought, did run hard with purpose and certainly looked in a different realm than Toksekin Rabada. Again, it's just one practice. And then after that, then I guess it's open to interpretation as to who would you pick with that number three. Now, they threw the ball around. A lot of the tight ends got involved. What, they have seven or eight tight ends that caught passes, including Drew Cook. Talked a little bit with him after the game was over on Friday night down on the field. He is embracing the move to tight end. If he didn't want to do it, it sure didn't come off in talking with him. Sometimes you can tell whether a guy does or doesn't want to do something. And Drew Cook, I think, I agree with what Scott Unash said on the gym class. If you bulk him up a little bit and he concentrates on blocking, which is new to him, he really hasn't had to worry about that, then you've got a guy that you can put in there maybe as your second or third string tight end and work his way into some playing time.
I think, and Kirk talked about that a little bit after the spring game, we'll get to that in a little bit, but it'll be interesting to see how some of these guys like Noah Fant, like Drew Cook, maybe Sean Beyer, if he can get in the mix, are used in this new offense. Mark Morehouse kind of hinted at it on Thursday. We replayed it on Friday for those that...
I think we should do an interview on Monday and then just replay it the next 4 days.
Sounds good to me. But he hinted at the fact that Brian Ferentz could utilize tight ends or as bigger receivers, split them out wide, and you would think that maybe Noah Fant and Drew Cook could fill that role. But I, for some reason, thought that it would be a good idea. I got home at about 8. Get home in time to watch the spring game through the duration of the BTN broadcast. And like you said, John Campbell did a great job, but I thought the telling moment of the night was at the end of the first half, they had what an insert sponsor here drive of the game. And the insert sponsor here drive of the game was Jake Gervais's interceptions.
Okay, yeah.
Probably, the drive of the game
were
interceptions. So that was very telling about the
offensive
first half.
Highlights were a little hard to come by.
And they were.
Again, you've got, I think, an offense in its infancy because Brian Ferentz is installing things. And I didn't expect to see a finished product. And I would hope that Hawkeye fans didn't either Friday night. But it was funny because sitting in the press box, I did overhear some snickers with regards to horizontal passes, anytime there'd be a 2 or 3 yard pass. And it did for a while look like Iowa was sort of battling the ghost of Greg Davis, that there's still maybe a little bit of that at play there. And then you remind yourself, look, it's just one day. This is a tiny little slice. They had 15 practices. You're getting to see them one time. And so we don't know what these guys are going to look like in the fall. Now, judging by the reaction on the text line, it doesn't seem like fans are losing all that much sleep. And 2655 sounds like he did things right. He recorded the game on Friday night, went to the casino, and won $260. So in his words, I think Friday night was good. That's the way to do it. Set the DVR, go win yourself some money. Now, Ryan and Walford on the text line chiming in, if history repeats itself, I'm not too worried about the quarterback position. It seems as if first-year starters always have success, and somehow after the first year, it all seems to go to hell. Stanzi, Beathard, Rudock. I do like Stanley to win the job, though. You can teach touch. You can't teach the cannon arm that he has.
You got to teach him a little bit of accuracy too, and not just on the deep throws, but on the intermediate throws as well. But to a certain extent.
Kid has a very nice arm.
Orion, I do agree.
He's
has
got
the
a
things.
Nice arm.
He has the tangibles that you can't teach, but it's interesting because I kind of went in with the mindset of, all right, let's see which one of these guys has a little bit of an edge on the other, and there was none of that. It was more of, wow, these guys really have a long way to go. But like Ryan said, if history repeats itself, I've been baited so many times during these spring games into making a rush judgment, whether it's about the offensive line or
those are the best judgments. Though.
Exactly. The running back position or the quarterback position. And each time,
hot takes.
Each time I came out of the spring game saying, wow, those guys really struggle. If they don't pick it up, this team could really struggle. And each time things worked out just fine. So I'm not going to be baited into doing that again about the quarterback position.
27 minutes after the hour of 4 o'clock here on a Monday, you're listening to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on KGYM. We'll step aside really quick, come back, get you a Midwest One Bank Big Board update, and then we'll head west to Des Moines, where we'll touch base with the Cedar Rapids Gazette's Jeremiah Davis.
Daryl Bewley here with Toyota of Iowa City. We know there are so many messages out there from car dealerships. Seems like everyone is claiming they have the crazy best deals and that they are the trusted dealer. The fact is, no one can offer you any better overall deal than we can here at Toyota of Iowa City. And we believe no one offers an easier and more comfortable buying experience than we do. Also, financing is really easy on the budget right now. Camry has 0% financing available for 6 full years, plus $1,000. Or you can get an extra $2,500 if you're not financing. RAV4 has 0% for 5 full years, or an extra $2,000. Lease payments are as low as $219 a month with no money down on certain models. We have the largest inventory we've ever carried. So if you care about a comfortable and easy buying experience and you want to make sure you get the best overall deal, take the time and come see us at Toyota of Iowa City.
This Wednesday's Administrative Professionals Day. Don't forget to show your appreciation to the real boss of the team. Just make one call to the Flower Shop at Cedar Memorial. It's that simple. Their designers have more than 60 years of combined experience and will personally work with you to create the perfect custom arrangement. Then have it delivered or pop in, pick up, and give it to them personally. One call, that's all. To the specialists at the Flower Shop at Cedar Memorial, 393-80.
Let's head right into a Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you. We will start with Iowa's spring game on Friday. They actually wound up getting a pair of recruits out of the whole ordeal. 6'1", 200-pound Green Bay running back Henry Guile joined the 2018 recruiting class, and then Iowa picked up over the weekend its first 2019 commitment, that coming from Holstein offensive lineman Ezra Miller. He's the top-ranked player in the 2019 class in the state of Iowa, according to 247sports.com. The Cedar Rapids Colonels beat Kane County 11-2 yesterday afternoon at Veterans Memorial Stadium. That win moves the Colonels within two games of the Cougars for first place in the Midwest League's Western Division standings. Four Colonels homered, including Jalen Davis, who belted his third home run of the season, a solo shot in the fifth inning. Colonels still at home. They open up a three-game home series with Burlington tonight at 6:35. The Iowa baseball team stumbled over the weekend, dropping 2 of 3 to Rutgers, including yesterday's finale 13-5. The Scarlet Knights jumped out to a 10-0 lead in the game's first five innings. Cole McDonald was hung with the loss after he allowed 4 earned runs over 2 innings of work. Hawkeyes will host Wisconsin-Milwaukee tomorrow night at Duane Banks Field. And the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders announced today that Doug Miller has joined the team's front office as co-president. Miller worked with the rival Waterloo Blackhawks from 2001 to 2012. He's also spent some time working in Des Moines. He was the USHL Executive of the Year his final season with the Blackhawks. So nice addition to the front office there for the Riders. We'll talk a little bit more about the Colonels and Iowa baseball before 7 o'clock as well tonight. Jeremiah Davis from the Gazette joins us next. He's going to give us a rundown of spring football and talk a little bit about the Jane Meyer trial, which continues in Polk County.
We're going to head to a bottom-of-the-hour sports center, which is brought to you by Linder Tire Service. Right on their reputation for integrity and outstanding personal service, Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell.
Kids, get your shoes on. We're leaving for school. Do you have your homework?
Yes!
Do you have your lunch?
Yes.
Do you have your backpack?
Yes! Life is hectic. Keep it rolling smoothly with a set of new tires from Linder Tire.
Have a great day, kids.
Uh-oh, Mom, I forgot my lunch.
Oh.
Linder Tire. We keep life rolling smoothly, even with a few bumps in the road. ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. This is what you need to know. With the start of the NFL draft just 3 days away, the league's notified teams that Michigan safety Jabril Peppers tested positive for a diluted sample at the combine. Peppers was sick at the combine after flying to Indianapolis from San Diego, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. Peppers has a history of cramping and was being pumped with fluids, drinking 8 to 10 bottles of water before he went to bed the night before his workouts. ESPN's Mel Kiper Jr. projected Peppers to be drafted 15th in his latest mock draft. Running back Mike Gillisley joining the Patriots. Bills declined to match the offer sheet he signed. Buffalo receives the Patriots' fifth-round pick in the draft. ESPN's Field Yates reporting the Saints and free agent running back Adrian Peterson are negotiating a contract. NBA Warriors star Kevin Durant with a strained calf remains questionable for Game 4 tonight against the Blazers. 9:30 Eastern ESPN Radio. Golden State is up 3-0 in that series. Nationals right-hander Steven Strasburg going on paternity leave as he and his wife await the birth of their child. Strasburg will miss his start in the upcoming series at Colorado.
Experience why for nearly a century men have trusted Barbasol for a close, comfortable shave. Whether it's extra moisturizing with vitamin E or soothing aloe, all you have to do is sit back and bask in the glory of your close shave. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol.
What kind of job would make you happier? One that pays more? One that makes you feel appreciated? One that offers the kind of benefits that world-class companies can offer? Red Star Yeast in Cedar Rapids has all that and a lot more, like company picnics and nights out at the ballpark. You get the benefits of a big company and the family feel at Red Star Yeast. What that means is you're appreciated and you're heard. Red Star Yeast is looking for electrical and mechanical maintenance technicians right now. To learn more about joining the Red Star Yeast family in Cedar Rapids, visit the careers page at redstaryeast.com.
America, it's time for some straight talk. Lobster is really just a fancy way to eat butter. Nobody wants to read the poetry you wrote in college, and guess what? That low-priced unlimited plan those big wireless carriers want to sell you? It's crawling with mystery fees, overages, and other nasty surprises. So it turns out those plans aren't so low-priced after all. But look, there's a better way. Straight Talk gives you unlimited talk, text, and data with the first 5 gigs up to 4G LTE starting at just $45. That's half the cost with no contract. Plus, you don't have to worry about getting blindsided by mystery fees and overages. All on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks. Come on, it's time to stop being fooled. It's time to ask yourself, why haven't I switched? Straight Talk Wireless, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
If there's one thing the pros at Advance Auto know, it's parts.
Advance Auto Parts and Batteries. This is Sabrina.
Hey, Sabrina. My car needs an oil change.
We do have 5 quarts of Mobile One Synthetic for $29.99.
That's a great price, right?
It's a pretty good deal.
Sounds good.
It will protect your car in all seasons.
Hey, you know your stuff. Why do British singers lose their accent when they sing?
I'm sorry?
Advance Auto Parts. We know everything about auto parts. Now get 5 quarts of Mobile One Full Synthetic or Mobile One High Mileage Motor Oil and a Mobile One Filter for just $29.99. See store for details. Also at participating CarQuest stores.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here to announce that KFC's new Spicy Crispy Zinger Chicken Sandwich is now available in a $5 fill-up for a limited time. Why? Because who wants to spend $7 on a meal at a burger place when you could spend $5 on a hand-breaded Zinger Chicken Sandwich, wages, a cookie, and a drink at KFC? I mean, we specialize in chicken. You need another reason? I didn't think so. Try the Zinger in a $5 fill-up at KFC today. KFC, it's finger-licking good. Limited time offer at participating KFCs. Tax extra.
The Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn continuing here on KGYM on 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids, and 1600 AM all across eastern Iowa. Online at KGYMradio.com as well, where our poll question today has to do with the Iowa spring game on Friday night. and what you made of it or what you took away from Emil's Hideaway. Sponsoring the poll question, you can find them on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. That Toron Young will be a factor out of the backfield next year, that the quarterbacks are not ready for prime time. Jake Gervais solidified his spot in the defensive backfield, or it's hard to take anything away from just one night. Again, Emil's Hideaway bringing you the poll question. Voting will continue on through 7 o'clock tonight. A little bit of NFL draft talk coming up in hour number two. C.J. Beathard was on the sidelines Friday night at Kinnick Stadium, as was George Kittle. Both of those guys have a good chance of hearing their name called. CBS Sports over the weekend did an entire 7-round mock draft.
Did you sit down and read it, the whole thing, and wonder exactly who the Packers are going to take? Because you know they're going to take everybody that was projected, right?
The first five picks are probably not even accurate.
No, usually not.
We'll get into the NFL draft and more, as well as your texts on the Jerry K. Ask Investment Services text line. But first, let's head west to Des Moines and check in with the Cedar Rapids Gazette's Jeremiah Davis. Jeremiah's actually at a race in Dubuque tonight. Aren't you, Jeremiah? I just remembered that.
No, that was last night.
That was last night?
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm in Des Moines. I was at the Jane Meyer UI.
I thought you were at the trial earlier today, and then you were going to the races tonight.
Nope, no races tonight for me.
All right. Well, I do agree with you on Chris Stapleton, by the way. So we've found some common ground in our country music. I want to start with the Jane Meyer trial before we get into your thoughts on spring football. Gary Barta continued on the stand today. What'd we learn? Was there anything of interest coming out of the trial today?
Well, I think the biggest takeaway from today is that it seems that the Tracy Griesbaum trial is at least in part being litigated in the Jane Meyer trial. We're learning a lot about what went into Gary Barta's decision to fire the former field hockey coach. And I think as to how that relates to Jane Meyer, it seems that today what they tried to get at was Tracy Griesbaum's firing and how that affected Jane Meyer and her reaction to it, and how she then reacted to Gary Barta, her behavior within the athletic department following that, coupled with Jane Meyer reacting to not being promoted into what was Gene Taylor's position in the reorganization of the athletic department at that time. So it all sort of ties together in that sense. I know it's kind of complicated, and I'm learning a lot as we go up. This is the first trial I've ever covered, so if anything doesn't make sense what I'm saying, I apologize. But it's a lot of legalese and one side trying to prove that Gary Barta, the plaintiff, Jane Meyer, trying to prove that Barta knew about their relationship and fired her and demoted Jane Meyer because of their gender and their sexual orientation. And Barta's side, the U of I, trying to assert that that had nothing to do with it and that it was Meyer's performance and behavior that went into it.
If I read correctly, it sounds as if the rhabdomyolysis case involving the football team several years ago came up at the trial today.
Yeah, it did. That and also allegations against J.D. Reeve, the men's gymnastics coach. Those situations were used as examples of coaches who were investigated for allegations of player mistreatment, and those coaches were not fired. The way Barta defended that was in the cases specifically of the rhabdo incident. The workout that caused the health issue, the coaching staff said they weren't going to do that that workout anymore. They eliminated that from their operations, I guess. Whereas with Tracy Griesbaum, she refused to change her methods, and that was one of the reasons that Barta cited today is why he let her go. One of the three reasons that made it, three major reasons that he cited was that she refused to change based on these allegations.
Jeremiah, one of your colleagues, Michael Oss of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, was on the gym class earlier today, and one of the points that he made is that usually during these type of cases, they settle before they get to trial, but it seems that both sides to this case are very set on not setting the precedent of settling, knowing that thinking in their heart of hearts that they're right and the other side is wrong. Do you get that impression as well?
100%. I could not agree more with that assessment. They both firmly believe in their perspective on it. And their body language. I'm not a body language expert, but Jane Meyer stared directly at Gary Barta for the entire testimony today. She very rarely did she break from that concentration. She's not giving an inch, and I think that if you want to read into any signals or any body language, that's what that says. And Gary Barta, withstood an entire morning from 9 until noon, say for about 15 minutes of questions, very specific, very pointed questions from the plaintiff's attorney. And so they're just going to give it an inch, and I'm very curious as to how this will turn out because of that.
Jeremiah Davis joining us from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. One of the points of contention today, and it came up Friday before the trial recessed for the weekend, was the timeline on when Gary Barta found out about Meyer's relationship with Tracy Griesbaum. Now, mm-hmm. I know that you're relatively new on the Iowa beat, but do you believe for a second, having seen how small of a community Iowa City is, and especially inside Carver Hawkeye Arena, that for 10 years he didn't know anything about this relationship? Do you find that hard to believe?
On its face, yes, just because you and I both and everybody listening knows how gossip works in an office. But that said, Barta admitted to hearing rumors in 2011 and said today that he was not going to investigate rumors because they were just that. And one of the questions that the UI attorney brought up was, do you investigate heterosexual couple rumors? Like if two people are dating in the office and they're heterosexual, do you investigate that? And he said no. And so on that point, I was inclined to believe him that if he heard about an office relationship and it wasn't explicitly true, it borders on inappropriate to then ask that question. And, for fear of, offending someone or butting into something that might not be his business. So I could see a scenario, a very believable scenario, where he legitimately didn't ask the question whether or not he heard the rumor until it was confirmed in the, I think it was the Associated Press story in 2014.
What's your feeling on how much longer this is going to drag out? I know when the trial started, they said maybe 3 to 4 weeks, up to 40 witnesses. If we've already heard from Meyer and we've already heard from Barta, what else is there for both sides to mine here in court?
That I wish I had a clear answer for you on that question. I'm not well versed enough in the legal system and what is available to both sides to bring out. I know that there is potential for Kirk Ferentz, for example, to testify. If there's any doubt as to whether or not Barta has treated all of the coaches fairly, maybe that is part of that testimony. I guess I'm inclined to believe that it's going to go as long as possible, just because of the detail with which we saw it today and the way the plaintiffs are painstakingly going through every single detail. It's going to take the defense a while to answer all of that. So I would imagine it's gonna drag out. But I'm woefully underqualified to answer that specific of a legal question, I guess.
I'm woefully underqualified to tie my shoes every morning, but it doesn't stop me from doing it, Jeremiah. That's the world that we live in. Let's go ahead and talk about actual football here, at least as close to it as we can get with spring football. But what were your thoughts about Friday night under the lights at Kinnick Stadium, and in specific regard to the quarterbacks? What'd you see?
Well, it didn't look great, right? I mean, I know you were there. It seems as though there's a long way to go for both Uyghurs and Stanley. I say that because I don't think that at this point the defense is so good that the offense would struggle that mightily. there's two scholarship receivers. You know, they ran two and three tight end sets for a large portion of the spring game. And just on its face, neither quarterback's very accurate right now. A number of situations, third down situations, they threw behind the sticks. Now, that also is in conjunction with receivers not running correct routes. I think at least on two of the interceptions that Jake Gervais caught, you know, the receiver ran a wrong route. There were three or four Iowa receivers in the same area, and you know, they're never going to run a route with multiple guys in the same spot. So they both have a long way to go. So I think it's fair to say it's a little disappointing with how especially Nathan Stanley has performed this spring, just because we saw a little bit of him in the fall, and he seemed farther along than this. And the new offense doesn't seem that new, right? So I don't know where that communication gap is, but there certainly seems to be one.
I'm with you, Jeremy. A lot of lack of accuracy from both quarterbacks, but Kirk Ferentz made it a point after the spring game to kind of downplay the concern, and there have been many spring games that we've attended in the past where we've seen some question marks going into the season. My question for you, based off of what we saw from the quarterbacks, where should the level of concern be?
I mean, right now, 50-60%, it's not anything outrageous. I mean, no team looks great in spring. I don't think that's ever the case. And if they do look great in spring, I'm skeptical. You know, if they had looked great on Friday night, I would have been not concerned, but like, you know, how is this possible this quickly? So I don't think it's anything to panic about. But there are specific areas to work on, as Kirk, you know, sort of mentioned. You know, he's never going to give away the farm that way. But he, you know, obviously he addressed receivers, quarterbacks, and some of the secondary stuff. But they also have some areas that, you know, look pretty good right now. You know, the running backs look really good. The front seven still looks pretty good. The offensive line should come together pretty good. So there's good and bad. It's not all doomsday. It's just if the receivers and the quarterbacks don't make that necessary step over the summer into the fall, it could be a long fall for the Hawkeyes.
How about the integration of the tight ends into the offense? Because a lot of them caught passes on Friday night, but that may have just been a byproduct, as you referenced, only having a couple wide receivers. But you got guys like Noah Font. You've got intriguing players like Drew Cook there. And Brian Ferentz talked about this last week when we heard from him in Iowa City. What do you think they're going to ultimately wind up doing with the tight ends in the fall?
I mean, I have to think it's going to be a huge part of the offense, both because traditionally Iowa has used its tight end quite a bit. And in terms of its receiving core, that might be the best that they have. You know, we expect Matt Vandenberg to be back, but do we know how good he's going to be given those injuries that he's had, or how ready he's going to be given all those injuries? I mean, they expect him to be back by that June target date, but, you know, he had a setback this spring, so who knows what's going to happen. And beyond him, it's still not great. Even getting him back isn't going to, you know, immensely improve that receiver group. So until another, you know, if Germanic Smith comes back, that's a big if, then maybe the tight end role isn't as vital. But I guess at this point I would be inclined to believe that those two and three tight end sets are going to be pretty prevalent just based on personnel and what they have available.
One of the minor storylines of this spring has been trying to find a backup running back to spell Akram Wadley a little bit during the fall. What were your thoughts on the way Torin Young looked on Friday night?
He looked really good. You know, he backed up what he did in Des Moines, West Des Moines Valley, the practice there that we got to see. Excuse me, sorry. You know, he looked really strong there, and he picked his spots really well. I think one of the things he talked about was, you know, in Des Moines, when we got to talk to him, was he was working on not bouncing stuff outside, being more north and south, and picking a spot and going and just committing to that. And I think he showed that really well in the spring game. And it just on its a physical face, he ran hard, broke tackles, and got those extra yards after contact that Toksekin Rabadi didn't necessarily. That's not to say that Cokes won't or won't be a big part of it, but Torn looks clearly, at least to me, looks clearly ahead.
Jeremiah Davis from the Cedar Rapids Gazette, we appreciate the time as always, and we'll see you and talk to you somewhere down the road.
Thanks, fellas. Have a good one.
You can follow him on Twitter as he continues his first ever trial coverage. It's not something that I've ever done, and I chatted a little bit with Mike Halas, who joined the gym class earlier today, because last week Mike was in Des Moines covering the trial for the paper. It's a long day. You're sitting on a hard wooden bench, and there aren't a whole lot of breaks. They don't want people tweeting during the trial. They want the phones put away. And, I don't know whether I would be able to pull that off or not. I think I would lose interest relatively quickly. But those guys at the Gazette have been doing a fantastic job of staying on top of the trial. Again, we could be looking at two more weeks of this, which is fine by me and gives us something to talk about here, because every day is like Christmas. Today, it's the fact that you've got this Rabdo case, which everybody has almost forgotten about in this part of the state, and that scab gets ripped open today.
What's the next story, the 4 or 5 year old story that we forgot about that's going to get brought up? That's what I want to know.
Well, she's taken some swipes at Fran McCaffrey's anger, but maybe it'll be the chair in East Lansing when Fran slammed the chair to the court. 8 minutes in front of the hour of 5 o'clock. Don't worry, we haven't forgotten about you. We've still got that $30 gift certificate to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill to give away before 7 o'clock tonight. That is good at any of their 3 locations. Also, it's a big week here at KGYM. We'll tell you all about it when we come back. More of the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on the way after this.
When I walk in the bank, there's 2 or 3 people that say, "Hey, Pat. Hi, Pat. How you doing? Thanks for coming in today." That's what makes a person feel special. It's a hometown feel.
Pat Loeffler is a busy guy with Carpenters Local 308 and his family, but he was proud to take time to talk about how Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust makes a difference to him.
Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust has made the commitment to me and the other union trades in town to be that union bank. You have a place that you can come in to sit down and talk with somebody on a personal level. That means a lot to my members. You're just not another number to them. You're a face and a name. They know you.
People you can bank on.
And they're so approachable. Starts with the receptionist, Jeannie. I work with Brittany. I work with John Rodriguez. I've worked with numerous, people at Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust over the years. They've been there for me every single time that I've asked them.
Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust. Meet them at peopleyoucanbankon.com.
My friends and family that I refer, they're always referring other people to Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust. That's the best part about it.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The real estate market in the Cedar Rapids area is red hot. In a hot market, you can make a lot of money selling your home, but you can also get burned. Doug McAllister at Pinnacle Realty sells your house fast and for more money. Don't get burned in this hot real estate market and leave money on the table because you don't know the ropes. Doug and Pinnacle would be glad to put a sold sign on your home in near record time. Doug McAllister has his own menu-driven system to sell your home fast and for more. Just go to soldincr.com to learn more. That's soldincr.com.
Your business's computing needs are a lot like a symphony orchestra. Each instrument on its own doesn't seem like much, but when the wireless isn't talking with a tablet, and that isn't in tune with the desktop, it's a mess. Network Computer Solutions is in the business of putting it all together in perfect harmony. Network Computer Solutions creates, fixes, and otherwise improves your company's networking computers, and that tunes up your profits. Call 247-7223. 247-7223. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Hi, Patrick Eads, owner of Geary Ford. I may not have the biggest dealership or the largest inventory, but I can promise you a fast, hassle-free experience with the friendliest people around and our best price up front.
On over 100 sale-priced used cars that come with 3 months, 3,000 miles comprehensive warranty, and payments as low as $119 a month with zero down, or up to $6,000 off MSRP on new Fusion and Escapes. With more inventory, more financing, and lower rates, you'll drive home in a newer vehicle and have a lower monthly payment than you have now.
Experience the way car buying should be at Geary Ford Iowa City or online at GearyFord.com.
The Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, coming to you on 1600 AM, 106.3 FM and 107.5 FM till 7 o'clock tonight. And then we turn you over to ESPN programming. Minnesota Twins fans, make sure you join us on Wednesday. That'll be our next Twins baseball broadcast on 107.5 FM. Our full schedule is available if you visit our website, which is KGYMRadio.com. NFLDraftTalk.com. NFL Draft Talk on the way after the top of the hour. First, it's another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Iowa's spring game on Friday helped yield a pair of recruiting commitments. First, it was 6'1", 200-pound Green Bay, Wisconsin running back Henry Guile. He joins the 2018 recruiting class, one of the top prep players out of America's Dairyland. And then 2019 commitment, Ezra Miller joined the fold. That's Iowa's first commitment out of the junior class. The Holstein offensive lineman is ranked as the top player in the state of Iowa, according to 24/7 Sports. The Cedar Rapids Colonels beat Kane County 11-2 yesterday afternoon at Veterans Memorial Stadium. The win moves the Colonels within two games of the first-place Cougars in the Midwest League's Western Division standings. Four Colonels homered, including Jalen Davis, who hit his third of the season, a solo shot in the fifth inning. Colonels back in action tonight. They take on Burlington at 6:35. The Iowa baseball team stumbled over the weekend, dropping two of three games to Rutgers, including yesterday's series finale, 13-5. Scarlet Knights jumped out to a 10-0 lead in the first five innings. Cole McDonald saddled with the loss. He gave up four earned over two innings of work. And the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders announced today that Doug Miller has joined the team's front office. He'll be co-president. Along with Mark Carlson, Miller worked with the rival Waterloo Blackhawks from 2001 until 2012. He was named the United States Hockey League Executive of the Year during his final season with the Blackhawks. Pretty nice pickup there in the front office. Rough Riders season is over. Colonel season just getting underway. And guess what else it's time for? Another season of Lunchbox Heroes right here on KGYM. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, they're loading up the KGYM pickup truck. They're going to be at Mount Mercy on Wednesday for another edition of Lunchbox Heroes. Big thank you going out to all of our sponsors who helped make that summer-long promotion happen, but especially to Built by Pros. If you want more details on Lunchbox Heroes, check out our website, kgymradio.com. CJ Beathard looking to get drafted. We'll talk a little bit about him. And Jabril Peppers, not exactly the greatest weekend for the Michigan standout. NFL Draft Talk on the way to kick off hour number two after this.
All right, guys, step up your game and save at GNC. Make sure you're up to every test. Testosterone levels impact nearly every part of men's lives, and T-levels decline as men age. Testosterone support begins here. Find new and exclusive testosterone products you can only get at GNC and innovations from top brands like Nugenix, Ultimate Testosterone, and Cellucor P6 Extreme. We're talking enhanced drive and increased vitality. With GNC, you don't have to wait to maximize your potential. Sale ends May 3rd. Change.